Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Lisa Vanderquack, Lisa V for short. And I am so glad to have you here today to hear from my guest, Margie Bryce. I'm going to bring her on in a moment. But have you ever been in ministry to a place where you have been given out, out, and out, and you find yourself maybe exhausted at the end of your rope and you realize, wow, I'm giving out to everyone else but myself? And sometimes you feel selfish, like even taking a day off or doing something that is for you. Well, my guest today is going to share some insights from her own experience and some of her passion about what it means to have self-care and to incorporate this into your life. Now, before we get started here, if you're new to our show, I just want to say welcome. I am a certified speaking coach, but I didn't start out that way. I used to be terrified to speak. But now, by the grace of God and through some amazing coaching and mentoring, I now get the privilege and honor of training people to speak before the glory of God, because I believe that your voice is meant to be heard, that you have a message and a story that is going to impact someone's life. So I'm on a mission to equip and empower kingdom-minded women and men into their calling as voices of influence on the earth. And often on my show, I interview entrepreneurs, kingdom-minded entrepreneurs who are using their voice to bring about transformation and change in people's lives, because that's part of their calling. And they're on a mission to just use their voice to bring about the advancement of the kingdom. So my guest today is Margie Bryce. And Margie, I'm just going to welcome you to the stage here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Let me just formally introduce you to my audience. So Margie was born in England to a British mom and a dad in the U.S. military, and was mostly raised in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. She accepted Christ as a young adult during a turbulent time in her life. Margie went on to work in corporate marketing communications before starting her own marketing communications business, which ran for about 15 years when God shifted the journey with a calling to ministry. It's kind of the opposite for me. Yeah. Margie served in pastoral ministry for about 15 years, both in the Nazarene United Methodist congregations, and most recently, she led 4.5 churches through a merger and refocusing process to create an existing denomination, existing church today in southwest of Detroit. That's no small feat. I'm curious about the 4.5.
Well, you know, not everybody asks that. I always wait to see. Are they going to ask about that? You'd be surprised.
Yeah. So in addition to that, she has her own podcast called The Krabby Pastor, which we'll ask her about in a bit, as well as she teaches for Indiana Wesleyan Online as a trained ICF coach who helps ministry leaders discover next steps and be intentional about the kind of sustainability that enables them to keep in step with the creative energies of the Holy Spirit, especially during this challenging post-COVID era. So she also has some hobbies, which she does stained glass. Love to hear more about that. As married to her husband, Craig, for 33 years, has three grown sons, one grandson, two rescue pets, and lives a life of fun and enjoyment, looks like, enjoys cycling. So good to have you on the show, Margie. Oh, So before we get into you sharing about how you came to be so passionate about the subject of self-care, I'd love to know, okay, 4.5 churches, like to me, it's like, what? A church is a church. How can it be 0.5?
Yeah. Well, to be a part of the merger project, a church had to get a vote of 66%. Mm. And there were quite a few congregations involved, but at the end, four were chosen to be a part of the project. And then there was another congregation who missed the vote by a couple of votes. And so they ended up, half of them went and half of them didn't. And the half that didn't go, the church ended up closing, really. Mm. But, so that's how you get 4.5.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, well,
nevertheless, you know, merging, helping churches to merge is no small feat. So obviously you have an amazing skill set that you have developed, or giftings that you have been honing. So I would love to know a little bit about, because I know today, and we're going to talk a bit about this in a bit, about self-care. Mm-hmm. I would love to know how you came to be so passionate about that area.
About merging churches?
I'm sorry, self-care.
Oh, well, merging churches. That's exactly how. So I went through the whole process. The model was for you to, they came together, they agreed to do this process. We met in a neutral location. So we met in a school for about 4 years. And meanwhile, all of the locations were being sold, because we're going to pool our assets and then purchase our own location. That's what the model was. So, and it was in an era when, you know, there, it just wasn't a hot market for cruddy church buildings. I hate to say that, but it took a while. It did take a while. So then we found a location. It was a 13,000 square foot building on 10 acres, which is pretty remarkable when you consider it was the area. It's a high density population area. So to find a 10 acre thing was pretty cool. And the building was down to the studs and the wiring because of a flood and a fire. It was structurally sound, but it was basically, you know, we had to renovate it. So we purchased the property. We had to renovate. We had to do the Sunday stuff as usual. We had to do a capital campaign because that was required of us by our lender. And then we had to do a community needs survey because this pastor here thinks it's a good idea to be missional. And so all of that at once, you know, we got through it, but I knew I was pretty well fried at the end of that. So that is where I just, you know, I got to the place where I felt like my to-do list was so long that going to the gym was just not helpful, when in reality it would have been helpful to do that. You know, I let any kind of eating thing go by the wayside, any kind of program, you know, it was like whatever goes, you know. But, you know, self-care, everybody thinks, okay, now she's going to talk about food and exercise, and I just did that briefly. But I see self-care as in a more holistic way now. It's a little more encompassing, which is why then, you know, you mentioned the stained glass, and that, you know, having some kind of thing where you're dreaming and creating, just like in tandem with the Holy Spirit, really, is very, you know, I made fun of people who had craft rooms. I really did. And when I was doing the merger, I ended up taking a class, and, you know, like they say, the rest is history. I'm like more than 10 years into it, and I have the beast of a room with glass saws and stuff, lots of stuff.
Wow. Yeah. You didn't just pick up a hobby that you can.
No, you know, I'm allergic to needle and thread in all forms. So that eliminated a vast group of things I could do. But what I learned about that is when I was working, that's the only thing I could think about in those moments is what I was doing next, which I have a very busy brain. It goes in, you know, 50 directions at once. And so I learned that it's very restful. It gives your brain a rest. You need that instead of the, you know, we're all trained to be the hamsters running on the wheel, ministry leaders especially. Mm-hmm. And I also came to understand that any leader, and I would say even women in their households are leaders. We make a lot of decisions about purchasing, about healthcare, about a lot of things. But if you're going to be a leader, you have to lead yourself well first.
100%, 100%. You know, I am a facilitator of a course called the Radiant Leadership Academy through Girl Power Alliance. And that's one of the things that we talk about, because it's a leadership program developed for women, and it's all biblically based, you know, becoming the leader from the inside out. But the first pillar is all about leading yourself.
Yeah. And recently I've kind of been doing some reading about boundaries and that kind of thing. And I thought, wow, why is it that we don't want to ascribe boundaries to ourselves. I think people in general are just boundary breakers, you know, you can go all the way back to the garden, the episode in the garden for that. But I think we chronically do that. And then we do that with self-care to the detriment. One group that I led through a process of self-care, we did an online course and stuff. And as I was teaching them, I'm also learning because one thing that came up a lot was this.
And which is the phone for those for just listening. Yeah. It's the phone, the device.
But it's a matter of being present in the here and now and in the moment. You know, those kinds of things. And I'm learning about how hard it is to slow down. Like, you have to be intentional.
Absolutely. 100%. And even
I'm
to
bad
be
at it. I'm very bad at it.
Well, you touch on something really important, because if we get in, and I've known this, see this in myself too, if I get into a habit where I'm multitasking all the time and I'm not fully present, then you create this habit where you cannot be present. Like it becomes that much more difficult. So I think it's the same thing, is to be intentional about learning how to be present, to be at rest in every situation. I think is really, really powerful and soothing to the soul and freeing. But I just want to go back to the aspect where you talked about how when you engage in your creative work, because I remember when my kids were really little, I took some courses. I was homeschooling my kids. I took some courses, and a couple of them were painting courses and things like that. And, you know, looking back now, those were my places of one, creativity, but also my place of rest and really a reviving of my soul in some way, where I could go and just be and just kind of refresh myself and self-care.
Yeah, it is. For me, I kind of just power down in there. Of course, I'm dealing with glass, you know, so you can get cut down there, and you do, but but, you know, not every time. I want to make it sound like it's that.
So you still have to use your brain and be in attention to the detail.
Oh, absolutely. This is a heavy duty, picky detail. It's a great outlet. If I'll say it this way, it's a great outlet if you're a perfectionist. It is. It's like, oh, I can be that here. And I find that I go slower. And the heartbeat of why I started the Krabby Pastor podcast, you know, none of my friends have come to me and said, I don't understand why you called it that. You know, and I'm like, I mean, I can be really, I prefer to say I can be really direct, but the heartbeat behind why I started that is because I feel it, especially in and through COVID, which is where things started to percolate in my mind and in my heart for this podcast, was looking at pastors and ministry leaders. And at that moment, I was on a personal leave coming back after the merger. And I had to really think about what it would feel like and what it would be like if I had been a ministry leader at that particular moment. And I thought, well, I'm kind of glad I'm a bug on the wall, because that looks just horrific to try to shift every 5 minutes and figure it all out. And I just really had a great compassion for those serving. And I especially have it now. I mean, we're post COVID, but many churches, majority are half of what they were. So you've got pastors then trying to do double duty to gotta get those numbers up, or, you know, the nickels and noses kind of approach to ministry. And I believe that the church is in the big C church is in a transition right now. And for ministry leaders to hear what the Holy Spirit is asking them to do, the new things that the Holy Spirit's asking them to do, they can't be running like a crazy person on the hamster wheel, because you're not going to hear what God is trying to say. So it's that whole, just slow down. You know, Jesus already died for for all of us. We don't need
That's
to.
Right. That's right. That's right.
I heard that at a development session that I was part of out at Point Loma Nazarene University. That was last year. And I thought that was a great line. So we need to kind of slow down. And it's better for us. It really is just better for us. You've got ministry leaders not taking sabbatical time every week, not taking vacation, and they feel like they're going to get some kind of medal of honor or something for it. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm second career, what they call second career to ministry, because I had a career and I left that to do ministry. And so I have a little different perspective than, say, someone who just came out of high school and went right to seminary and did all those kinds of things. So I'm a really good little critiquer, I guess, in that. And I was also later in life to come to Christ. I was in my mid to late 20s when that happened. So I have a real passion for how ministry is done. And I worked revitalization process with churches. You know, people are trying to recapture what needs to be there. You know, what do we need to be doing and what do we not need to be doing?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you that there is a definite transition across the globe in terms of the church at large and how things have been done in the past and how we need to really evaluate the focus of the of what we do, and for good. I think it's all for good in that regard. If those who are mindful and in tune with the Holy Spirit, it will be a good transition for sure. I agree. You know, Jesus gave us that example, right? He spent time daily in self-care in terms of feeding, being with the Father, and just really taking time to tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to really, I believe, just to really allow himself to be prepared for whatever came. We don't know exactly all that took place when he spent time in prayer, but we do know that it was a discipline and a priority that he had. And so how much more for us to be able to prioritize that spiritually for sure, but even beyond that, to listen when, like you said, it's going to look differently for different people, right? In terms of the practical, I believe from a spiritual point of view, we all need to have that kind of self-care where we are daily connecting with the Father and just really allowing ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit. But then beyond that, the practical aspect of self-care may look different for different people.
And different in different seasons of their lives as well, you know, but you need to just be attending to it. Because when I've done a workshop on this, I've laid the whole thing out, you know, like here's, you know, 6 or 7 key areas that you need to be focusing on. And, you know, now that I have you just overwhelmed, here's what I'm going to ask you to do is just pray about just one area that you need to attend to and slowly knit it into your life and have it be part of your lifestyle. Because it doesn't say in scripture anywhere that Jesus booked like a lunatic to Bethany. That's the pace that we seem to think, not only ministry leaders, but just United States American people.
Totally.
I mean, I have found myself, it's a beautiful day and I'm in Michigan. So, you know, when it's 50, we get excited, especially this time of year, we get really excited, but you'll be parked in the parking lot and you're booking to the store. I've caught myself doing that. And I thought, why am I not just sauntering into the store and enjoying, you know, the 50 degree weather for a minute instead of just, you know, hauling in? And that's what you do. That's what I feel like our culture's kind of trained us to do that. And we brought that into the church. And then for heaven's sakes, you know, oh, we got to get the numbers up. I just feel a great sense of compassion for ministry leaders today that are trying to recapture, in some instances, they're fishing in a bucket, you know, trying to get those people back. When I want to say, hey, I think the Lord God Most High has stocked the pond. What are you fishing in the bucket for? You know, there's more people today that are apart from Christ, which calls us all to a real radical obedience and living lives like we really do know Jesus. And that's, you know, that's, I think that's the main issue right now for the church is we have to be living, you know, people will say, Barna says in all their surveys that people like Jesus, they just don't like the people that say they follow Jesus and they don't look like they follow Jesus. That's the disconnect that, that many people have, but I'm banging the drum of self-care because we have to remember, and we know this, we're finite. We are mere mortals, and we need to attend to ourselves, body, mind, soul, emotion, all of it. And it is an act of stewardship that God has given us these bodies in which to, and God knows that we are finite beings. So we need to attend to and take care of. This is like, if you decided you're never going to get a tune-up on your car, you're never going to change the oil. You're never going to, you know, at some point you're going to have problems. And I think we've got our share today. So
that's so good. Such a great analogy. And we can all relate to that. I know I can relate to that with one of my kids who didn't take care, didn't attend. I was like, okay, dud. One day just conks out. You have no car left. What is, just give me, as we close out here, one or two benefits that you have found in your life since you have incorporated self-care into your life.
Yeah, I definitely think the having some kind of creative outlet. You don't have to get a glass studio to do this, but you know, I can see and sense as I'm there. It's like my, I have to go and just put it all away and just go and focus on one thing, and there's just a sense of peace that comes. And I think that's a very under-preached thing, that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, that it's the peace that passes understanding that comes. And but you can't go stand in the middle of a storm and say, well, where is the peace? I don't get it. You know, we can't do that. But there are things that we can do to put ourselves in a restful place so that we can acknowledge and sense and experience the peace that is there, but we're too busy, you know, running around. So that is one area that I know that I have, and slowing down, that's huge. I did a lot of cycling, and then I got a diagnosis of osteoporosis. Oh joy, you know, I guess I'm not in my 20s anymore, right? So I got that diagnosis, and the doctor tells me, well, you're gonna have to do something else, because cycling, and I was doing 50 miles a week, is not a weight-bearing exercise. So I had to go and reformulate stuff that I was doing. And I always have to do that because I just have the metabolism that if there's a famine in the land, I will be the last person standing. Okay. So I'm always tweaking and trying to do something. It was a challenge for me to go into any kind of exercise situation like a Pilates or a core bar or, you know, whatever, because I had trouble going slow. I really did. It really takes intentionality to slow down. It really does. And I think it takes intentionality to take care of your body. And I think the goal for me, and this started way back for me in when I did my MDiv, and then again when I did my doctoral program, that you had to write out a life vision statement and that. And I have talked a lot about fueling myself with rest so that I can go the distance with God. And that means live into whatever calling that you have. And so I want to be surrendered to God for God's purposes. So you know, I got to take care of the equipment I've been given.
So true. So true. You know, I love that. And for those who are listening today, this may be reframing your view of self-care, where maybe you felt it was selfish, mm-hmm. but as Margie is saying, that it's actually good stewardship. It is very good. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's our job to take care of this temple in order for the Holy Spirit to have full reign in what he wants to do in and through our bodies and through our minds and every part of us. It's our responsibility on the earth to take care of this body. And I just so appreciate you, Margie. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your passion. Is there any final words you want to leave with our listeners today?
There is. You know, this hit me recently because this is what I'm hoping to do is reframe self-care. Because I hate the drudge of, okay, now I gotta whatever. Jesus said, when they asked him, what's the most important commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? We know this. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not loving yourself very well and taking care of yourself mm-hmm. within the little finite limits that we are, the mere mortals that we are, how well can you love your neighbor? And that really hit me powerfully fairly recently. And so I guess I would leave you with that. And I'm not saying that to be condemning in any way, shape, or form, because we're always one repentance prayer away from being in God's good graces again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not meaning to be condemning, but I want to encourage people to just slow down so we can enjoy this life that God has given to us. Even if you're serving in any kind of ministry capacity,
mm-hmm.
You know, you want to have joy in what you're doing, but sometimes the way we're doing life just needs to be tweaked a bit.
100%. And, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because that is so, so true. We neglect that last part of that commandment. We don't realize the power of the priority of that. And, you know, the scriptures are written to not only to inspire, but to correct and to teach us. So I believe that we always need to be submitted to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to bring about those fine tweaks that we don't see. And sometimes it comes through voices like you. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that.
You are most welcome. So if you're listening today, make sure you check out Margie's podcast called The Crabby Pastor, and check out her resources. And if you want to know more about her, I'm sure you'll find more information there. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Make sure you subscribe, you like, and you share this episode with someone that you know will find great benefit. And I'm on a mission to raise up women across the globe, as you know, to dream bigger, to build wealth through kingdom-minded mentorship, leadership, and speaking. You know, my guest talked about leadership today, how leading needs to start with us. And it's so true. But I also believe that in order to reach the masses in terms of more impact and to be able to expand our capacities to do more with what God has given us, I believe your voice is a powerful vehicle that God has given you. It is a tool in your hands to use to bring about transformation and impact. And so if you're listening today and you know that you're feeling the pull to develop this area of your life, I want to encourage you to look in the description down below and find out more details about the Kingdom Speaker Academy that I helped to co-found inside of Girl Power Alliance. But we're going to be starting our next round here in another couple of weeks. And if you want to become a certified Kim 10 speaker, if you don't know what that is, think of TED Talks, but Kingdom Speakers. We are launching our first Kim 10 stage here in 2024. And we've just brought a number of women, but now men, coming through the Kingdom Speaker Academy to showcase and to be able to get on a stage called Kim 10, Kingdom Impact Message in 10 minutes. So more details about that in the description. Thank you so much, everyone. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Remember that your voice is a vehicle of transformation and needs to be heard.